Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
The Athletic.
Totally Football League Show, a much-needed win for Swansea, a shocker for Sunderland, Oldham victorious in the Misery Derby, Forest up for the Cup, and we get the lowdown on League One from one of its resident skippers. This is the Totally Football League Show, in association with Paddy Power.
Saturday, Tuesday, Saturday, Tuesday.
Here we go then, gang, back for another week of TFLS. Joining me, Matt, to talk through the weekend's news and notes are Sam Parkin.
Hi, Matt.
Adrian Clark's with us too.
Hello.
And live from the manager's office, it's a warm welcome back to Wycombe Wanderers captain Joe Jacobson. Hi, Joe.
How you doing? You all right?
Good, thanks. So you're straight off the training pitch ahead of tomorrow's game with Shrewsbury. Luckily, this is a podcast, so people can't see the tactics board behind you. But it's a big game for you, isn't it, all of a sudden? That, after a couple of defeats, chance to get back to winning ways?
Yeah, had the weekend off, didn't have a game. So it's sometimes it's nice to have a little break. The gaffer gave us 4 days off after the game. So gave us just time to get away, refresh. We had a little meeting and just said, look, it's the last third of the season now, let's just give it everything and see where that takes us. It's a game that we think we can win. I'm not sure about those tactics behind me. I'm not sure what formation it is, but if I'm on it, then I don't care.
Before we get to our regular EFL coverage, let's talk a bit about the FA Cup, because there was plenty going on for us to enjoy, not least Adrian at the world famous City Ground.
Oh, it was brilliant, wasn't it? It was fantastic. Well, it was brilliant unless you're a Leicester fan. Pretty embarrassing from there in. But no, another tremendous afternoon at the City Ground. How many more are they going to have this season? The Arsenal one was a famous win. I was there for the Derby one. Great noise. And then this was another one to add to the list. I just thought there's so much fire and purpose about Nottingham Forest at the moment. Just everything they're doing with real energy and belief. It's an unbelievable transformation from early season under Chris Hughton, where honestly, I saw them a few times in the flesh. It just felt like you could go half an hour and they wouldn't have a shot on goal. It's so different now. So yeah, well done to Cooperman and the boys.
Joe, my theory on Forest is that it doesn't have to be this season, but it could really do with being this season that they go up, because they're not going to have Jed Spence next season. They're probably not going to have Brennan Johnson next season. And they might not have Steve Cooper for much longer if it goes at this rate. Momentum's such a massive thing in football, isn't it? You really got to make the most of it whilst you've got it.
Yeah, like you said, you've got to kind of go when you're hot sometimes. And as they might have a plan in place for the next couple of years or whatever it is, but if there's an opportunity, you've got to kind of take it. And like you said, their best bit, the window is probably keeping hold of those two players, Johnson and Spence. And I know they turned down big money from Brentford, and the hype around Jed Spence at the minute is incredible. He's had such a fantastic season. So for them to keep hold of those players and the manager, of course, it's given everyone a lift. They've added a couple and you know, they're in a great position at the minute and one of the most feared teams in the league. right now, Nottingham Forest. And for them, it's such a huge club. I think their fans are desperate for them to be back in the Premier League.
We certainly are. Shout out to Dave Murphy and the recruitment team for getting Steve Cook and Keenan Davis in January. Made a massive, massive difference to Forest. Sam, you and I were at Stamford Bridge to see Plymouth almost take Chelsea to penalties. Anything else catch your eye? What about Borough? We tipped that as a potential shock on Thursday's show.
Yeah, I thought obviously Boreham Wood going to Bournemouth yesterday, huge story. Luke Garrard was a young player at Swindon with me, so I've kept an eye across his managerial career to date, and I'm sure there'll be teams within the Football League looking at him now. He's done great work there, and that's a phenomenal result. Yeah, I mean, Middlesbrough kicked the weekend off brilliantly. They had to ride their luck, didn't they? But it encapsulated everything that's great about the FA Cup. Brilliant penalties, apart from Sol Bamba's. I thought I wanted to get the lads' take on this. That was a curly-toed centre-half trying to ping a ball. That was what I felt as soon as I saw it. I was a bit curly-toed myself, so I'd normally go with the side foot, but it amused me. And, yeah, fortunately, it went in the net and they got through. But I thought that was a great start. And, yeah, again, probably Joe's got a good idea about this, but I felt with Plymouth, they are a team that don't change their shape. Everyone knows their job. You know, there's teams probably in League One that have got a bit more tactical flexibility, but I thought that was so evident that they went to Chelsea, they played two up front, played the 3-5-2, even the subs knew their job. And that's why against a Premier League team, not patched up in terms of being weaker, but a side that haven't probably played together much against the well-drilled League One side, really difficult afternoon, and all credit to them, especially the defenders, the centre-halves and the goalkeeper were amazing.
Luton can look forward to a fifth round home date against Chelsea, but poor old Peterborough have drawn Manchester City. Some reward for beating QPR that. Right, we'll head off to the Championship next.
We all enjoy the sport we call the beautiful game.
But since I've retired, I've discovered an ugly, even darker side to the sport we love.
Join me as Jamie Redknapp investigates.
Thanks, Jamie. We'll take it from here. Join Jamie Redknapp for Jamie Investigates, the football mockumentary series. Watch on Paddy Power's Twitter. This week, Jamie Investigates Twitter Trolls.
Do you know the truth?
Paddy Power.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
18+ BeGambleAware.org.
You're listening to the Totally Football League Show, part of the Athletic Podcast Network.
In the Championship, Blackburn, the only team to play in the top six, lost at Swansea. Sheffield United closing in on the playoffs after besting Birmingham. Hull lose their X Factor under their new owner, but Preston's got talent. And Mel Morris is trying to dig himself and Derby out of a hole he dug with a shovel, which he presumably bought and then sold back to himself at a vastly inflated price. We're going to start in South Wales. Russell Martin easing the pressure, which was maybe starting to build on him as his Swansea side overcame second place Blackburn. That despite the Swans playing most of the second half with 10 men. This was the moment that mattered from Michael Obafemi.
Useful looking cross, free header and a goal! Michael Obafemi. And finally, Swansea City have found the net.
Jamie Patterson back in the side in recent weeks, Joe. We've spoken about him a lot. You'll have played against him. I imagine he's a bit of a nightmare for defenders.
Yeah, he's a very good player. Played against him years ago when he was down at Walsall, I think it was. And he shows how important he is to Swansea. And you just think that what could have happened the last few weeks and the previous games, if he was available for whatever reason, you're not quite sure who's kind of pulled who out of the team. Sometimes it's a bit of both, but for them now, for the second half of the season, they needed him. They need his creativity, is what he brings. He brings that little bit of fear factor. I think playing against players like that, you know that they've got something special in the bag and they're just kind of waiting to show it on the pitch. So for Swansea to have that now, because I think early on in the season, you know, they're going to win the possession stats, the passing stats, but I think they've lacked that killer kind of instinct up top, and he can hopefully bring that for Swansea for the rest of the season.
And this was a different way for them to win as well, wasn't it, Clarkie? Because of the sending off, it meant that they couldn't dominate possession, which is what they want to do. So kind of in adversity, Russell Martin found out something positive about his team.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, it was on the red card. It's a red card that comes about because of the style of play, doesn't it? The goalkeeper looking to ping a clever sort of diagonal out to the left wing back. And it puts him in trouble and mistimes the tackle and he's off. So that's one of the negatives of sort of playing in that way. But there are lots of positives as well, of course. They rode their luck, definitely, in this game. I think Blackburn had loads of chances. I thought the goal was a classic, really, in terms of... was it Uncham, I think, that made a great run across the centre half, completely distracted him, and the left wing back was dozing. He didn't really react. He wasn't in the right position in the cover. It was really cleverly worked goal. It wasn't just about the cross. Really enjoyed the sort of decoy run. And they needed it, didn't they? It's not been a great run for Swansea, but they're okay. They're a work in progress, aren't they? It's, I think for them, you know, unlike Forrest, they are building, aren't they, for next season. He'll get time, I think.
This is a bit of a wobble from Blackburn, Sam, isn't it? Failed to score in four of their last six in the league now.
Yeah, I mean, his hands were tied a little bit, Tony Mowbray, here, because he left Brereton Diaz and Kedra on the bench and there was no Gallagher, there's no Dolan right now. So he went without a recognised striker, again, partly down to the travel with Brereton Diaz and an injury for Kedra. So those guys came on and didn't have an impact, which probably shows that it was the right decision, but they're missing important players right now. I think maybe could have gone and got a striker in the window just when Brereton's not available. I think they're a little bit light in that area, but I think they're going to be competitive, Blackburn. They've had such momentum this season. They've got that lovely balance in the midfield. They've been able to keep hold of those players as well as the talisman up front. So hopefully for their sake, it's just a wobble, but of course, you'd expect them to create more chances than they did against the 10 at the weekend.
I think we saw some glimpses of Ryan Giles and what he's going to offer in the game. I think he played in one of the attacking midfield slots early on and then got moved to wing back. And that was where he was at his best. Some of the service that he was putting into the box was top notch after the break. And you just think when Brereton Diaz is back fully fit and ready to do his thing, when you've got Gallagher in there, Kadra as well, I think he's going to be a big player for them moving forward. But I do agree with Sam, they should really have brought in someone as cover for Brereton Diaz.
So Blackburn faced Forest next. They missed the chance to cut the gap on Fulham, meaning that even though Fulham got tonked at Man City, they proved Gloria Clemente's theorem voiced in the 1992 film White Men Can't Jump to be correct.
Sometimes when you win, you really lose. And sometimes when you lose, you really win. And sometimes when you win or lose, you actually tie. And sometimes when you tie, you actually win or lose. Winning and losing is all one big organic globule from which one extracts what one needs.
On Friday night, Birmingham supporters protested at the mismanagement of their club. Lee Bowyer protested at the officials. And after all that, Sheffield United came from behind to win the game. And they are all of a sudden 3 points off the playoffs with two games in hand on sixth place West Brom. Joe, we were kind of scratching our heads when Paul Heckingbottom got the Sheffield United job and Slavisa Jukanovic was sacked. But three wins on the spin, only lost once in the league under him, shows what we know.
Yeah, someone as well who knows the club and been around there and knows the players, who probably knows how to get the best out of those players. And when you've got someone like Billy Sharp back in the goals and having another prolific season, it always helps. And they've kind of kept with the same formation. A lot of the players who got them success a few years ago and getting up to the Premier League and staying in the Premier League is boded well for them. And, you know, they're not far off the playoffs at all. And it's all about the last third of the season now. And they can definitely put a challenge in to get in there. Like you said, if you've got someone scoring goals, that always helps. And going back to Blackburn then, when they're missing Brereton Diaz, the goals kind of dry up a little bit. With Sheffield United, they got someone scoring the goals at the minute. It shows how quickly it can propel you up the league.
Decent chance to go on a run, Sam. Four of their next five at home. They'll definitely be eyeing those top six places.
Oh, the best team in the league, I think, over the last 10 games. It's just one defeat under Heckingbottom. And Yeah, I mean, Joe's right about Billy Sharp. It's the expectation's going to be on his shoulders now. And you've got Gibbs White, I think, nearing a return as well. So I think those two, pivotal. But if you look at the stats, I think they're third for shots in open play, fifth for shots inside the penalty area, and fourth for XG overall. So I think they're underachieving, really, in terms of where they should be. They've certainly got enough creativity. It's probably that they haven't had enough goals or regular goal scorers in the centre forward position. So now that Sharp has turned his form around, they're looking better as a collective unit. They've got an unbelievable chance, I think, of getting in the playoffs, considering the confidence that they're playing with right now and the competition for places in the midfield as well, with Sander Berge coming in and producing that assist for the first goal. I think, you know, things are looking up.
They got loads of strikers, haven't they? I mean, Brewster, you got McBurney. I thought Illiman Ndiaye was brilliant in this game. He was everywhere. Wherever the ball was, he was. And he was sort of twisting up his men. He gave the team a really good energy. So yeah, Sheffield United definitely looking the real deal. And yeah, we were critical of the appointment, but Heckenbottom is... Because on paper, Jokanović has a lot more pedigree than Paul Heckenbottom as a manager. That's why we said it. But maybe it's just a good fit. So far, so good, for sure.
Blackpool brushed aside Bristol City to further the respective narratives of the two clubs' season, namely joy and misery. Josh Bowler with a pick of the goals here.
Just look at the space that Bowler's in here, and he's brought it down wonderfully well. One-on-one with Pring, weaves his way inside! Fantastic goal by Josh Bowler.
Three wins in a row at home for Blackpool, Joe. Is it fanciful to say that they might make a run at the playoffs? They're only 5 points off it.
Why not? Barnsley did a similar thing last season, where I know they had the season before where they solidified their season in champ, but why not? I think once you play this many games throughout the season, you're in there for a reason. You're in there because you're good enough. And, you know, they haven't just had a run to kind of creep up there. They've been doing quite well all season, really. And, you know, what an incredible job he's done there. And there's probably seven or eight teams outside of the playoffs who all think they've got a chance. And Blackpool probably are in that mix as well.
Clarky, you've worked with me long enough now to know that funk is one of my favourite words. I'm going to go ahead and say that's what Bristol City are in. How do they get out of it? And is Nigel Pearson the man to do it?
Well, they need to remember that clean sheets are quite important in football, because they seem to have forgotten how to defend. Absolutely shocking defending in this match. And I mean, Callas is a really experienced defender. He's been around for years. He's not a poor player. I mean, from one of the goals, he just ball watches completely and doesn't react to the knockdown from Yates. Really, really bad. They're like, if they concede two against Reading on Wednesday, it means they would have conceded at least two goals in the last 10 games. And that's a club record, or it would be a joint club record. I mean, that's horrendous. I mean, Joe, I mean, if that happened at Wickham, I mean, Gareth would be tearing strips off the lads, wouldn't he? It'd be unbelievable. So, yeah, they've got to first and foremost, try and have a clean sheet mentality moving forward. Very quickly, I like this stat, so I want to crowbar it in. I know you've not asked me about Blackpool, but Josh Bowler, who scored a great goal, didn't he? Lovely, you know, I love the way he sort of 1v1, really confident the way he ducked inside. He's attempted 46 more dribbles than any other Championship player this season. Quite remarkable. He loves a Maisie.
And that, Sam, is a bit like Brennan Johnson at Forest, isn't it? It's sometimes if you keep a player in a transfer window, it gives you as big of a boost as it does if you sign one.
Yeah, definitely. I think in certain games, the two wingers are their real strength. You know, he plays 4-4-2 quite a lot in the games at home. There's flexibility there. They went, I think, to a five away at Fulham recently. He clearly knows what he's doing, the manager. But yeah, 100% keeping hold of Bowler, and then adding Kirk and Beasley as well to an already quite strong-looking front line with Medine and Yates, who can be paired. Lavery can play by himself. They've got really good options going forward. Yeah, defensively, I think not brilliant at times, but it's probably going to be too much of an ask to get into the playoffs this year. But it's been an incredible first season back in the Championship for them, no doubt.
Preston North End are in the top half of the table. That after they won the War of the Roses at Hull, they suffer their first defeat under Shota Arveladze. No surprise that an Archer was on target here.
But Preston come again into Archer. No flag! That will count! Cameron Archer's second goal for Preston North End! He has ruined the carnival atmosphere in Hull!
Joe, when you change your manager halfway through a season, I guess it can go one or two ways. But under Ryan Lowe, Preston look a totally different side. He's just come and managed to kind of, we used the word momentum earlier, he's kept what he had at Plymouth and taken it to Preston.
Yeah, did an incredible job at Plymouth to put them right in the mix. And since he's left, you know, you can see they haven't been as consistent, whether or not that's players are changing, things like that. But at Preston, he's done a great job. And it's difficult, Preston. I think the last few years, they've kind of expected a little bit, probably more than where they should have been, I think. There's some bigger clubs in the Championship than Preston, no disrespect to them. But I think, again, they're in that mix of six or seven, eight teams outside the playoffs who really think that now they're probably like us having meetings in the next couple of weeks thinking, right, what do we need to do to have a right good go at this? And especially with the teams down the bottom, I think there's three or four that are so far adrift. I think why not kind of have a go and start preparing? There isn't, you know, eight, nine teams who are all looking over their shoulder this season. So it's kind of, there's a lot of teams who are probably thinking about next season already, but why not have a go this season? Why not, like I said before, when you're hot and you're in it, you've got to go for it. You may not get a better opportunity again.
Sam, be an interesting conversation, I think, between Ryan Lowe and the chairman at Preston over the summer, because he'll be saying, look what I've done with the group that you gave me. Let me spend a few quid, bring some players in, and I can really go for it next year. And I guess the answer coming from the other side of the table will be, yeah, but look what you've done with what you've already got here. We don't need to give you any more money.
I think they maybe don't spend bundles the last few years, but they make some really sensible signings, I would say. Younger lads that have done it in the divisions below. Look at someone like Whiteman, who got the assist at the weekend. We were talking about his qualities for years on the podcast. They took the plunge. McCann, I think, has come down from Scotland and looks the part. I mean, this is an inspired loan signing as well, Archer, because I saw him in the game against Chelsea live, and you'd have thought he'd walk into every Championship side. I think he's that good. He looks like he can hold it in. He can run. His finishing looks superb as well, with the amount of chances that are falling his way. So, and that gives them good strength, you know, because Evans and Jakobsen have been a real handful recently. So now they're going brilliantly. And I thought something interesting, you know, talking about Plymouth earlier, that shape that Ryan Lowe clearly prefers. He converted two midfield players to wing backs at Plymouth, and it looks like he's done that again with Potts, Brad Potts, who was getting a bit of criticism and looks to have fitted into that role. And it was the position I felt they should go and strengthen in this window. So what do I know? Because he's already worked his magic on a training ground.
Yeah, one other piece of good recruitment, I think, is in goal with the guy Everson. He was good, wasn't he, previously? Was it with Rotherham? I think he was. He was excellent. And he made the difference, I think, in this game. There was one unbelievable save. I think we all have a starfish save, don't we? It sort of spread himself, Schmeichel-esque. Just thought it was sensational. And they probably didn't really sort of, you know, didn't get enough credit for it. I also think Cameron Archer was offside for the goal, by the way. I paused it, rewound it, I paused it. He looked at least half a yard offside. So they got a little bit lucky, maybe, Preston here. But yeah, flying.
But then maybe they'd say that disallowed goal, I mean, that was basically a carbon copy of what Duncan Watmore did, wasn't it? And that goal stood, there was a handball in it, and this one was ruled out. So swings and roundabouts, or any other cliche you want to stick in there, I guess. Right, let's get some Championship odds, courtesy of Paddy Power here, represented by producer Abby.
Yeah, we'll go to the outrights for this week and into the top six finish. You can't even bet on Fulham to finish in the top six. Paddy Power have got them there, as nearly do Bournemouth have their top six finish sorted. They are 40-1 on. Blackburn, third favourites, they are 10-3 on. QPR, 4-9 on. West Brom 2-1 on, Sheffield United 6-4 on, Middlesbrough 6-5 on. It's a lot of teams on there. Huddersfield, who are currently, you know, closer to those positions than some, are 7-2, and Forest in there at 4-1 to finish in the top six. If you fancy a top goal scorers, Alexander Mitrovic 25-1 on, and Ben Brereton Diaz 12-1. Although I am annoyed that Paddy Power only wrote Ben Brereton, not Ben Brereton Diaz.
Thanks, Abby. League One next.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Because you're a listener of the Totally Football League Show, you can get a third off an Athletic subscription right now. All you need to do is head to theathletic.com/league show. That's theathletic.com/league show.
The headlines in League One. The game between Morecambe and Bolton was paused for 10 minutes due to alleged racist abuse directed at Ian Evatt's staff. Here's what the Bolton boss had to say on the subject.
We are sportsmen, we are professional people in the public eye, and for whatever reason, people think that gives them a divine right to say what they want to us, whether it's social media or in person.
There was more disruption at the New York Stadium, where Rotherham went 6 points clear after beating Accrington, no thanks to a supposed supporter running onto the pitch and kicking the ball away from a pen, which was subsequently missed by Stanley. Sunderland need to get Keno in sharpish after they lost at home to Doncaster in front of 38,000 plus supporters on Jermaine Defoe's second debut. MK Dons are a point off the top two after they beat Lincoln, and Oxford also won 3-2 against Pompey. Joe, I mentioned the trouble there. We've seen a lot of it this weekend. We've seen a lot of it in the EFL over the last couple of weeks and months. Do you talk about this as players? Obviously, you had your game against MK Dons halted for a little bit. Is it something that's weighing on your mind at the moment?
It seems to be happening so much more often than it ever has done. We've had incidents with the chanting, not just the Oxford game, but at Morecambe the week before with the Akinfenwa, things that was going on with him. We had a player run on the pitch in the Oxford game as well and confronted players. So I don't know why all of a sudden it's happening a little bit more. I think people, Clinton Morrison was talking about it on Quest, saying people want to maybe get in the limelight and think it's funny and show off to their mates or whatever it is. But it's hard. At some point, you see it in the Forest Leicester game, at some point someone's going to get hurt, whether that's a player or the fan, by people reacting, which, you know, it's just a natural reaction sometimes. If someone comes at you, you want to protect yourself or protect teammates, and you hope that something serious doesn't happen. So for the authorities, I'm glad that the Bolton-Morecambe game, I'm glad Ian Evatt took his players off, because if you can't stop it by doing that, then how can you stop it? I think the officials kind of have protocol, but I'm not sure if they're strong enough. I think they have to come stronger from the EFL. I'm part of the Kick It Out Players Board, and we talk about this a lot, about what clubs can do more or what the EFL can do more. And I think there needs to be harsher sanctions, harsher punishments, and maybe more games getting abandoned and, you know, playing behind closed doors. I think that's the only way you can kind of stop it.
In terms of what the clubs can do, Clarke, I thought Leicester handled it brilliantly yesterday. It wasn't even an hour after full time that they put out a statement saying that supporter will never attend a Leicester City game again, home and away. And that's the most effective deterrent, I guess, for people, isn't it?
Yeah, that fan should never enter a stadium again, not just a Leicester stadium. The same with the Rotherham fan. Absolute disgrace. And Joe's absolutely right. What if those two guys had a knife on them? Yeah, it could easily have done that. And then you're talking about a tragedy. So, yeah, something's got to be done about this. I think what Joe touched on there is my sort of little idea. I think for fan intruders, there should be something in place that the next match is behind closed doors, maybe except for away fans only. That'll force the clubs, when they're losing out on all that revenue coming in, that might force the clubs to work a bit harder to control their own fans and to maybe weed out the troublemakers. And it would also get the fans around these idiots to play their part in stopping them behaving in this way, because, you know, everyone's going to be punished. I don't like points penalties, because you're punishing the players. not fair on people like Joe and Gareth and, you know, all these, whoever it is, Paul Ward. It wouldn't be fair, I don't think. But if the fans are going to misbehave, they're going to have to stop going to the games. You know, behind closed doors is the way forward.
What we don't want, Sam, is what you get in some European countries, where you get all that netting around the between the stands and the pitch, so people can't get on, you know, moats or whatever. We don't want to be in a situation where we feel that that's a necessity.
No, not ideally. But the other thing from the weekend, the amount of objects getting lobbed onto the pitch now as well, that seems to have crept back in. Loads of spectators on the pitch. When I was playing, to see the jubilance of fans and the odd one coming on the pitch, it didn't seem to be so much of a problem. It was a rarity. And now it seems to be happening in most games at the weekend. So I don't disagree with anything the guys have said. Yeah, it has to be, the deterrent has to be behind closed doors, stopping the spectators from coming. That would make people think twice. And it is up to the clubs, I suppose. They have the database of which supporters come into their stadium. They know how they police on match days. They know how many stewards they've got in certain areas and stuff like that. It's up to them to try and make positive steps, I suppose, to try and eradicate this. So, points penalties is not the answer, but it is up to the clubs, the infrastructure, to try and get a handle on this.
And let's talk about some actual football then, although Sunderland will be wishing that we didn't bother because they were beaten 2-1 at home by actual Doncaster on Saturday, this in front of 38,000 plus at the Stadium of Light. Joe, you'll have been following the Sunderland story with interest, I'm sure. Are you, like us, desperate to see Roy Keane get the job just for the narrative, just for the content? Or are you thinking, just keep things as they are and maybe we can leapfrog them in the table?
Well, there's that part of it. Yeah, of course, we're looking at all the teams around us. But like I said, from a fan of football and watching Sunderland Till I Died on Netflix, that documentary, it would be incredible to watch Roy Keane and see how he acts there. For some reason at Sunderland, it never seems to quite work out perfectly how they want to do it. They always kind of go about it the hard way. And to have 38,000 fans in League One, let alone in the Premier League, that's a lot. But in League One is incredible. And the supporters there do deserve to see their team play at a higher level. And for whatever reason, it hasn't quite worked out. And I was just a little bit surprised at the team selection. They've got three big stars that they brought in January. They've got a manager there. They knew they was going to have a huge crowd. Why not put a few of them in the starting 11, get the crowd buzzing at the start of the game? And just reading the comments and stuff before was just about the team selection. Why aren't they playing those players after a defeat? And but fair play to Doncaster, they were brilliant. They fully deserved their lead and probably could have gone in even more than 2-0 up. And it's tough times at Sunderland, but they're still fourth or fifth in the league and in a great position to not just get in the playoffs but get automatics as well.
Not the main takeaway from this game, Clarky, but one thing that did stand out to me is the pitch at the Stadium of Light is absolutely atrocious. For a ground of that quality, surely it ought not to be that bad. Is that an excuse for them not exactly tearing it up, if you'll forgive the worst pun I'll make all day?
No, I mean, you're talking to someone that played that was a decent pitch this time of the year when I played, in the sort of mid to late 90s. No, not having that at all. I thought they were unlucky because Ross Stewart's header looked way over the line to me. I'm surprised they didn't kick up more of a fuss about that. I completely agree with Joe. I think the caretaker, Dodds, had a bit of a mare with his team selection. I think he changed it to a back three as well. And then halfway through, changed it back. Not really sure what they're doing in terms of, are they going to play out from the back like they did under Lee Johnson, or are they going to be a bit more direct? It was just a mishmash of a performance. And they come up against a Doncaster team that were inspired on the day, weren't they? Great fight from them. I mean, they won at MK, didn't they, recently as well? So, and in between, I think they got battered by Rotherham. So they're a hard team to sort of put your finger on at the moment. But I think considering Donny had five new faces in their starting 11, that was a phenomenal performance and result, really was. So, and it'll give them belief now that they might be able to pull something off, because a few weeks ago, I think we all just assumed they were going down with a whimper, but might not be the case now.
And might it help them, Sam, that their next game is another biggie, home to Ipswich, and then they go away to Portsmouth. So that after the Lord Mayor's show thing that can often happen to teams after a big result might be less likely because they know they'll have to be up for this one.
Yeah, well, three really difficult games on the bounce. And the lads would have been there. When you get an influx of new players, when you're desperate for it and the training improves and you get a result on the pitch, the spirit will be so much better than it has been previously this season. And yeah, Clarkey touched on it there. Five new players in. Griffith's got a goal. He's an interesting story. Been playing in France after getting plucked from Spurs. He's come in, done brilliantly. I think Josh Martin was a great get from Norwich. So they've replenished the squad. He got it badly wrong against Rotherham, trying to match up, again, one of the best sides who know their jobs in the division. So Gary McSheffrey's probably learnt from that and just focused on themselves going into this game. Got a magnificent result and there won't be any fear for the players now going into some big fixtures. They'll be excited about getting out there because they'll have some lads who have got the freedom and are not bearing the scars of the early part of the season, if you like.
Elsewhere, the McDons planting themselves right in the automatic promotion race. 2-1 win against Lincoln at Stadium MK leaves them just a point off the top two. Joe, they've beaten you three times this season. I'm sorry to remind you. Thereby, I guess you've been reasonably impressed by them.
Yeah, do you know what? And when Russ Martin left really early on in the season, wasn't it? You thought, how are they going to react? How are they going to cope with it? But Liam Manning coming in, it's been seamless. And in fact, they've probably kicked on a little bit. And they've had a bit of a really strange window where they've a lot of their starting 11 have gone back. They've been recalled from loans and sold and other reasons. But I think they've got quite a good number of players in who have slotted in really well as well. And again, talking about keeping players, keeping hold of Scott Twine, who scored the winner against us last week, was huge for them. And look, MK play incredibly good football, similar to Swansea. They keep the ball a lot. And going back to their pitch isn't great as well, but they still manage to play the way they want to play on there. There's no excuses from them with it. But, you know, they're right in the mix now. And you know, 2-3 weeks ago, I don't think people were talking about them as being automatic contenders, but all of a sudden, a couple of wins and they're right in the mix and they fully deserve to be there. Yeah, they've done really well this season.
Another team in the mix are Oxford. They've scored 14 goals in their last four games. This after a humdinger against Portsmouth. They eventually grabbed the winner in the 7th minute of stoppage time, courtesy of Nathan Holland. Clark, it's quite the contrasting start to 2022 for these two teams. One of them with loads of momentum and the other one can't buy a win.
Oxford are so exciting, aren't they? There were two great goals, weren't they? The Brannigan hit was just the dream curler, wasn't it? It's really hard to curl a shot as powerfully, as crisply as he did. And that was... yeah, that was a sort of one in a season effort from him, I think. Just brilliant. They've got loads of attacking options as well, haven't they, Oxford? So you think they're going to keep on scoring goals. If only they could defend. If only they could keep clean sheets, they'd probably be in the top two, wouldn't they? So, yeah, they're the entertainers. Pompey, I mean, you know, they're in a bad way. When I see Pompey, and I saw them in the flesh recently, they don't look like a team that's really enjoying their football at the moment. It's pretty ugly. It's not that great to watch. Not much football. Not much of a buzz. You know, when you watch a team, you can see if there's a good vibe, a good energy among them. And it kind of feels the opposite of that to me anyway. And four defeats in five. They don't look contenders. They'll say here, and understandably so, with 10 men, we almost got a great draw. And I get that. There was a bit more fight, mate. There's a bit of fight and desire there. But don't know. I don't think Pompey fans are loving it at the moment. It's not good football.
Sam, chance for you to further your agenda against Danny Cowley?
I've worked with Nicky Cowley and it was a thoroughly enjoyable evening. But no surprise there was a bust up, I would hasten to add in this game, because he's quite lively in the old technical area and sure Carl Robinson is likely to be so as well. But no, I was just going to say, I saw them against Charlton, obviously, and the catalyst for that kind of nearly comeback was Jacobs and Curtis coming on. So no surprise that they both started and both scored in this game. But I was surprised to see them equalise, because I noted when the opponent scored first this season, they've lost 10 out of 12 games. So there seems to be a lack of resilience, and they have to start games quickly, Portsmouth. And that's been evident to me every time I've seen them this season, especially at home. If you've got the crowd and they can score, I don't think there's a problem. But going behind, they just don't seem to have the mentality right now, which I think is, it's a lack of creators and a lack of end product at the top end of the pitch more than anything.
Yeah. Harness and Walker were unused subs as well in this game, which I suppose that's partly down to the fact that they went down to 10 men, but yeah, still a surprise.
Before we move on from League One, a moment just to praise Jai Simi's magnificent pass during that Charlton-Wimbledon game. Charlton coming out 3-2 winners in that one. We'll talk a bit more Wickham. Joe, obviously you weren't in action this weekend. You mentioned the meetings. Is it just giving you a little opportunity to reset? You've had these few days off and now you come back in and the gaffer says, okay, this is what we're targeting for the rest of the season.
Yeah, he just kind of said, look, it's a clean slate. We've give ourselves an incredible platform. There's still probably 20 teams, 18 teams who want to be in our position going into the last 17 games of the season. So we've got a great opportunity. We don't want to wait. Like you said, other teams will be planning for next season. We want to do things now. We feel like we've got a squad that can compete right at the top of the division. And, you know, on a day we can beat anyone. I think we've been a little bit inconsistent. We haven't done a Rotherham and a Wigan and go 15 unbeaten. But that might be a good thing that we can just be a little bit inconsistent with the consistency going through to the end of the season. And we know points wise, you think roughly what you kind of need, and we do need to go on a bit of a run. But, you know, the atmosphere around the place is, you know what the gaffer's like. We could lose 5-0. He comes in whooping in the morning and doesn't drag you in on a Sunday after a defeat. He's never like that. And we signing Lewis Wing and Jack Young on deadline day have come in seamlessly. They're really enjoying it. They can't believe how nice everyone is around the training ground and players. No one's out to get them. So it's a great environment at the minute for those boys as well.
What a massive result that is. Working for a gaffer like that. No Sundays. You can plan for your Sundays. I like that. what's on the to-do list? Can I just ask that in terms of what you sit down as a group, you say, well, what can we do better? What would you identify?
Nothing. It wasn't anything that we could do better as such. It was just the fact that let's just give everything we've got. We've got 2 months, 2-3 months to kind of just give everything, just dedicate whatever you do in your life to getting promotion. And we just kept going back on previous experiences. And you'll know, you look back on your career, the best times you ever had, whatever level, however much money you were earning, it's all about the promotions and the best friends you have in football are usually from those seasons as well. So we just want to emphasise, look, you can do something special for this football club. What we did a couple of years ago, you don't want to keep talking about it. You want to make sure that it wasn't a one-off and we've got a chance to do it again and make new history for this football club.
It's been, less than a week since we heard the news that Matt Bloomfield was retiring. A word on him and what he's meant to the club?
Well, yeah, there's not a lot you can say that hasn't already been said. It's, I mentioned it in one of my posts I put up about him, that he's made me do a lot more for myself and my career. I'm probably still playing because of him. You know, from the first day I signed, I was wondering why Matt Bloomfield was in the training ground an hour before everyone else and doing extras and things like that. I'd never quite seen it before. And now I'm want to be that. I want to show the other new boys coming in and the young players that that's the way to be. And he's still doing the same. He's still in early. He's still taking his job now as a coach incredibly diligently. And I'm sure he's going to have a wonderful career. And he is, I know it gets thrown about a lot, he's Mr. Wickham. He's been there for 18 years. I think I've been there a long time, but I played in his testimonial in one of my first games. So he's incredible professional. He's such a great guy and he's a really good friend of mine as well. And I can't praise him enough, both on and off the pitch and what he's done for the football club.
Yeah, I just wanted to jump in and say Matt left Ipswich the summer that I arrived, but I don't think I've ever, heard such amazing sentiment about a player when he's retiring that I have done in the last week about Matt Bloomfield. So it sounds like an incredibly, obviously I've played against him, incredibly unique, but the words that I think Gareth Ainsworth spoke about him and obviously Joe just then and some other things I've read, I think it's incredibly unique in this game. So he's been unbelievable. And again, I think it encapsulates what Wickham's about. And because I was there for a brief period, I roll out a few cliches, but that's from hearing that. And obviously I know Dave Wheeler, it has still got that real, It's not a non-league mentality, but they're very together as a club. And yeah, Matt's been unbelievable. What a career.
So that's League One. Abby, can you give us some odds on it, please?
Thanks, Matt. Wickham are the fourth favourites to win the overall title of League One. They are 25-1 to win that. Rotherham, the favourites, 8-13. Wigan 9-5. Sunderland still above Wickham 13-1. See how long that lasts. If you want a top goal scorer, it's Ross Stewart. He is 6-5. Cole Stockton 16-5. Missed a penalty at the weekend. Did score anyway. And Michael Smith is 5-1 as well. And one time favourite, Macaulay Bonn, is now languishing down at 20-1.
Lovely. Thanks, Abby.
This episode is supported by Season 3 of FX's Welcome to Wrexham. Celebrity owners Rob McElhenney and Ryan Reynolds' small-town Welsh football club has finally been promoted into League 2 after 15 seasons in the National League. Dedicated staff and supporters celebrate the city's return to glory while bracing for the newfound challenges that come with being in a higher division. Will Wrexham AFC stand up to the challenges and rise again into League 1? FX's Welcome to Wrexham. Catch all new episodes Thursdays on FX. Stream on Hulu.
This is the Totally Football League Show with Matt Davis Adams.
League 2, Oldham win the Battle of the Doomed, FGR win, water still wet, Sutton move back into the automatic promotion places after drawing with informed Bristol Rovers. James Robrey revealed that there were no bids for Dom Telford in January, which is something of a surprise. Mentioned Sutton there, one of three teams unbeaten in the EFL in 2022. Sam, Joe, care to hazard a guess at who either the other two teams who are yet to lose in the EFL in 2022 might be?
I've got one.
Go on then.
Forest Green.
Forest Green is correct. Joe, can you tell me the other?
Wigan.
Wigan's not a bad shout, but it's not right, I'm afraid.
What about Mansfield?
No, but then it's that Abby hasn't put Mansfield in there, but I feel like Mansfield haven't lost. So
worst quiz ever.
Abby says that this was taken from Sutton's Twitter account. So I'm guessing they are including Mansfield's defeat in the FA Cup, which is not really okay in the question. Anyway, the other one was Huddersfield, but who knows whether it's right or not. League 2, that's what we were talking about. Scunthorpe, bottom of it after they were beaten by Oldham in the basement battle to decide who is least worst. Joe, we've been lamenting these two clubs all season. It looks as though they might both drop out of the league at the end of the season, but at least Oldham have given themselves a little bit of something to cling on to here.
Yeah, first of all, getting John Sheridan in is, I think, a huge appointment for them. Someone who's been there numerous times. The fans seem to be enjoying that. They haven't enjoyed a lot what the owner's done there in the last few years. But, you know, to get John Sheridan in, who's, like I said, done there, had success there. They had over 1,500 fans travel there, and incredible scenes at the end when they scored the goal and when Luamba came on and scored the goal. And it just shows that little bit of fight, I think. And now they're 5 points off, they've got a game in hand. And I think teams now around them will start to feel like maybe Oldham have got a little X factor now with John Sheridan to come in. If they can, you know, pick up a few more results. I don't think it's going to be a huge points tally to stay up this season. I think it's going to be really difficult for Scunthorpe to put a run together. I think they've won 3 games all season. They still probably need to win 7 or 8 games from the last 16, 17 games. So it shows what a tough end of the season they may have. But whoever won or lost that day, probably looking and thinking that could be curtains for their season, I think.
Scunthorpe already thinking about National League life, do you think, Sam? You kind of don't want to let that bleed into the football side of things, I suppose. But off the pitch, you need to be making the adjustments for the fact that you're not going to be a Football League club, given that you're 8 points off and, as Joe said, have won 3 of 29 games all season.
I think off the pitch, maybe, but we're not privy to that. As players, no. Obviously, there comes a stage when there's 4 or 5 games left, and if you need to win every game, the realisation is there. But I think at the moment, they brought in 5 new players. So there's a chance, you know, if they can, it's how quickly they gel, I suppose. And with Oldham at the weekend, 2 players that John Sheridan's brought in the last week had a real positive effect straight away. So it's how quickly Scunthorpe players can gel if they can have a real impact on that squad. But one thing's right. You know, Keith Hill has not had the tools at his disposal this season. That squad has been miles short of the quality required, I think, to compete in League Two. So they play two games more. They've got a deficit to Oldham now. And Joe just said it, you know, the fans are behind John Sheridan because they know what he's done. So the atmosphere is immediately better. He can trust the guys that he's brought in that he knows have done the business for him previously in his career. So, of course, straight away, they've got a better chance of getting out of it. Scunthorpe's going to be incredibly difficult.
Elsewhere, at the County Ground, a switcheroo between Exeter and Swindon. The Grecians came from behind to beat the Robins and move into the playoff places, therefore. Sam, which of your former teams are you feeling more confident about finishing in those playoff positions at the end of the season?
Oh, you can't do that, mate. You can't do that. I've got to say Swindon. Spent 3 years there and scored a few goals. Exeter, not so much. So, yeah, I mean, it's going to be really tight. If you'd have asked me a month or so ago, I would have said Swindon were probably dead certs for the playoffs. But to lose Kessler Hayden back to Aston Villa, Tyree Simpson, the striker, who was so influential in the last few, you know, weeks and months of his Swindon career. Yeah, tough to get over. And I just think, you know, the home form has been so desperate. I think they've only won three at home. Away, the contrast is alarming. And that's why the Swindon fans are just starting to turn a little bit on Ben Garner. And I think that's because the quality he's got within his disposal with, like, Johnny Williams, you know, players that have played at a higher level they've got there at Swindon. And I think that expectation has just changed throughout the season when they've seen the type of player come into the club. So I would call for calm right now. And I think maybe the changes that Exeter could make at the weekend has had a real positive effect for them in getting back into the game. But I think it'll be tight, but I'll have to go for Swindon. But maybe both of them will make it. Let's say that.
There's your headline on the Swindon Advertiser back page tomorrow. Parking calls for calm. Joe, is there any better way to win a game than like Exeter did in this instance? They scored two goals in the final, 6 minutes? That makes the journey home a little bit better?
No, there's no better feeling than scoring late goals to get points, to get wins. Two goals as well coming down and 7-8 minutes to go. Being a goal down, scoring two goals to win the game is amazing. And for me, like you said, that question, I feel Exeter, I just feel like they've been there, they've done it. They've had so many playoff campaigns. Getting promoted has been the hard part for them, but getting into the playoffs, they seem to be experts at it. And with Swindon, maybe having a few players that necessarily have come from higher divisions who can't struggle, you know, with, or do struggle a little bit with the consistency of League Two and playing and in smaller stadiums, worse pitches and things like that, it might come to haunt them come the end of the season. But they're both still 4 and 5 points off the automatics, let alone the playoffs. So, you know, only a run of a couple of games, a couple of wins here or there, and it can propel you right back up there. So still so much time left to play.
Abby can tell us what the promotion markets are looking like in League Two, according to Paddy Power.
Yep, final Paddy Power pit stop of the show. And we'll go to the relegation odds. Scunthorpe are 14-1 on to be relegated, and Oldham are 7-4 on to be relegated as well. So that is as sorted as it could possibly be. Carlisle, Walsall, the third and fourth favourites, I should say, 5-1 to be relegated. And we'll do a hat trick of top goal scorers where we find Dom Telford 6-5 as the favourites. Matt Stevens and Jameel Matt, the Matt attack, coming up second and third. Stevens 23-10, Jameel Matt 11-4. Those are your odds.
You can find out these odds and more at paddypower.com or the Paddy Power app. Prices are accurate at the time of recording. It's over 18s only. Terms and conditions apply. And when the fun stops, stop. All right, that'll just about do it for today. But before we go, after Oxford versus Pompey had 10 yellow cards and one red, I want to know the feistiest game you've ever played in. Adrian, you can go first.
Yeah, a lot of feisty games, a lot of matches where various players got sent off. But there's one match that really sticks in my memory. It was at Swansea, and it was just a war at Vetch Field. It was pre-Liberty, and it was horrible. It was horrible to go there. I don't know if any of the other guys played there, but it was really noisy. And yeah, it was always just a battle. And I was playing for Southend at the time. We had three players sent off. Kevin Mayer, who's now the manager, like the nicest man in the world, he got sent off. joint nicest man in the world was a guy called Julian Hales. Never swore, never did anything wrong. He got sent off, as did Mick Gooding, who was, he was a bit feisty as our player coach. Yeah, three sent off, so we were down to eight. They had a few yellows. It was horrendous. And yeah, things were said afterwards. It was a little bit of afters down in the tunnel in the changing room area. Yeah, that's the one that stands out to me. You don't forget those ones.
Sam, you're a lover, not a fighter. Were you always first down the tunnel when it started kicking off?
No, it's at the back, like chatting to my mates in the crowd or whatever. Nonsense. I remember Kevin Nichols, who Joe would have played against, I'm sure, trying to incite a riot at Kenilworth Road one night when we were down to nine men. And I think he nearly achieved his goal, actually. He was still going at it down the tunnel. So that one sticks out. And I think pre-season games, you know, against teams from different countries or whatever, where maybe there's little points to prove and stuff like that. I remember going to Hungary and Jim Magilton got sent off for whacking someone after about 30 seconds. And I think that meant he missed the start of the championship season, which was quite amusing. Even more so when he became the manager a year later.
Joe, I'm just looking at your disciplinary record on Transfermarkt and it's actually pretty good. Not many red cards in your storied career. Does that mean that you're always kind of one of the hold me back lads rather than the getting stuck in the thick of it?
I'm like Sam, I'm not even a hold me back. I'm standing with a referee trying to be oblivious to it all. But again, one that sticks out for me is when I was at Bristol Rovers, we played Swindon, which was a bit of a derby. And I think they had three players sent off. We had two players sent off. They beat us 1-0. Again, it was just players were coming on, just two-footing people and getting straight red cards and stuff. It was quite funny. But that season, in fact, we played against three teams that went down to eight men. And we didn't win one game. But then, that's funny little stuff.
Yeah, who does that say more about, I wonder? All right, that'll do it for today. Many thanks to Adrian, to Sam and to Joe for joining us. We'll be back on Thursday when we'll reflect on the midweek action and look ahead to the weekend's game. Join us for that if you can. Until then, from all of us here, it's goodbye.
You've been listening to the Totally Football League Show, part of the Athletic Podcast Network. Listen ad-free on the Athletic app and keep up to date with everything Totally by heading to @thetotallyshow on Twitter and on Insta. Find out the latest subscription offers by going to theathletic.com/leagueshow. The Totally Football League Show is an Athletic Media Company production.
The Athletic.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.